Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome to Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison and here is Dave Craig.
Ahoy.
The remix.
Yeah. Keen to just find fresh ways of doing it, really, these days, you know? You don't want things to get too stale, do you?
Sometimes you should just go for the traditional, though.
Oh, really? Okay, is that a bit of a... that's a note, is it?
That stop doing it. No. That's, I'm just saying, you know, the purists just will from time to time like a simple.
Absolutely. Okay, note taken and received, and good. I will act on it in future episodes.
A little bit of an odd one this week, because, well, we've sort of done half of this episode already, the one in Barbados.
Yep.
And now it's time to polish it off with the remaining 23 minutes. So if you're just joining us, we are going from 27 minutes in to the one in Barbados.
That's the Netflix timing, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, basically, yeah. It's the second episode. It originally will have been a two-parter, or, you know, made as a two-parter. So, and it is where the natural episode break is, for sure. What I did really enjoy, and this is such a tiny little win, but what I really enjoyed, Pete, was just putting Netflix on and pressing play on Friends, and I didn't have to find the new episode. And it's a very small thing, but boy oh boy, did I enjoy that.
Simple pleasures.
Very simple pleasures. So, shall I do you the, important details first? 175274, the production code for the episode 2 of the two-parter.
Oh, so it is different.
Yeah, two different episodes, yeah, for sure. Episodes 217 and 218 of Friends, should you care about that.
I don't.
Okay. Here's the rest of the synopsis. We sort of stopped halfway through, probably. Ross and Charlie find they have a lot in common. Rachel and Joey grow closer. Monica's hair, we've done that. Joey and Charlie break up when he realises they have little in common. He later sees Charlie and Ross kissing and then kisses Rachel. Monica and Mike, meanwhile, play ping pong to both Chandler and Phoebe's displeasure. I would say that's not true.
She's well into it.
Very, like, too much pleasure, if anything.
She says it's like porn.
Yes, she is sexually aroused by the ping pong.
Yeah.
So there you go. Oh, by the way, just before we do talk about this episode, I should apologise for those of you that were surprised by the notification that you got for the correspondence episode on Sunday.
Yeah, what was it called?
A few people screenshotted and sent their phone at sort of 6 a.m. which just said, "Have you ever been wanked up on a plane?"
Yeah, good.
Which was, of course, a reference to last...
No, day. Don't provide the context. No, okay. Let's just leave it there. Yeah.
I think it was a little shocking for some people Sunday morning, so
fine.
Many apologies. But let's pick up post-plane fumbles in Barbados. 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 I don't know what happened there.
It's all right.
So we basically pick up on because of our meddling, you know. So Mike, it's so weird. I'll tell you what's weird, Pete, about watching this second half is that I completely forgot David was in it. Like, it's like he was never there, isn't it?
And there's even like a little acknowledgement to how quickly that's changed with when Ross sees Mike and he does a bit of a double take of being like, "Why is Mike here?"
Yeah, and he goes, "I'm back."
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ross doesn't even really say hi. It's kind of, it's like, it's funny the way it's done, but in reality, that's a weird way for Ross to react. He just goes, okay, and walks off. It's like, hi, mate, nice to see you. How have you been? Welcome to Barbados. Thanks for coming to my speech, etc., etc. But the speech is done, isn't it? And the backdrop of blazing sunshine, although the backdrop behind the window is still hilarious.
I love the backdrop because, I mean, the waves aren't even moving. It's just a static picture of a beach.
It's so funny, isn't it? It's so funny. And I'd never really noticed until you sort of mentioned it last week how hilarious the rain is outside.
The watering can.
Yeah, the giant watering can. It's so funny once you notice it.
It's someone with a fucking hose, isn't it?
Yeah, imagine being the hose person for that episode. Right, this week you're just on hose. You just have to stand next to the set and spray a giant hose for the whole time. Yeah. Kind of interested to know how, on a logistics level, that works, though. Like, because it's a set, right?
Yeah, well, there's one point where there you can see the backdrop of the beach, so that's there. It's obviously a picture. There's some rain, but then there's also, between the fake window and the backdrop, they've put an actual real plant.
Yes, right, I see, yeah.
So they've tried to sort of, they've sort of window dressed it like it's a shop window.
Yes. Yeah, and then sort of made a little bit of nature.
Yeah.
So there must be some sort of trough, I guess, catching the hose water.
How did they do it? TV magic.
TV magic. God, who thought we'd be discussing the logistics of the fake rain in Friends?
That's what we're here for.
That is what we're bloody here for. But the rain finally stops. They are all planning to go out and excited. I do enjoy that scene where they're all in the sort of adjoining rooms. You know, Rachel first bursts in. And then that bit where Ross goes, walls are pretty thin, guys.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? I know they're there because it's Ross's conference. But would they really have to go to the actual speech? Like,
I thought that when you see Chandler there with his lanyard on, yeah. It's like, that is not a fun trip.
Well, we don't really work in what you might describe as the real world, but the sort of, my understanding...
Dave, I'm a serious journalist.
Okay, Rach. but conferences are, you don't just take your mates and get a lanyard, do they? Don't they famously cost like thousands of pounds to be like a delegate at a professional conference, because it's all about, you know, it's all about that getting there and networking and all that sort of stuff. So like, you're not just buying your mates and Mike. Like, you didn't even know he was going to be there. Suddenly they're all in the speech and they're about half the crowd.
There's also one bit where Ross mentions to Charlie, oh, it was like great to see you, and I looked out into the crowd. And like, the crowd? There's like 40 people.
40 people in. Let's be honest, quite a small conference room.
It is really, I was surprised that few people have gone to the effort of
to the keynote
Barbados.
Speech.
Like, yeah. if it was worth flying to a different country for, or right. to an island for, then you'd think it was like a big deal.
Yeah, like a big sort of, I'm imagining the sort of Dunder Mifflin, you know, annual meeting thing in the office, you know, that huge conference hall with like thousands of people. But the other thing about the speech, though, is not only is the room small, the screen for Ross's visual aids is tiny, and he's just stood in front of it.
And he's using what looks like children's drawings in his presentation.
Most of it is just a picture of a dinosaur.
It's like they've got like a GCSE student to draw a dinosaur and then use that. Yeah. That's what it looks like.
That is the background to most of the speech. And then, but then occasionally he does things like he goes, oh, the DNA, and clicks on to a tiny slide, like you can't make out any detail, and then just gestures towards it and stands in front of it. Who's organised this conference?
Shambles.
Absolutely shambles. Absolutely shambles? Absolutely shambolic is what I meant to say.
Yeah, irony.
Then we get lovely creepy Jarvis.
Yes, love the fact that Jarvis has a wife.
Yes. I mean, what I would say that I don't understand about the Jarvis situation is funny appearance at the end of the speech, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's there, he's weird, he's into Ross. Why is Ross having a drink with him later?
Yeah. There's also one bit, like, after he does the speech and Jarvis chats to him, Jarvis, like, stays standing next to Ross and all the friends and then doesn't say anything else. He's just there next to them.
I don't understand why that wasn't the final interaction Ross ever had with him, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how they got into a position where they're having a one-on-one drink and Jarvis is inviting Ross to his cabin in the woods or whatever it is. I also always thought his name was Jarvis Overblow Cornell, like a double-barreled one, but he's from Cornell. university. Yeah. I watched it with the subtitles this time and I was like, oh, that makes loads more sense.
I only knew the reference to Cornell from, again, this is another Office reference, but yeah. Andy Bernard.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I just, in my head, I just always thought that was like a posh double-barreled name.
Yeah.
So that's, we kind of park the paleontology conference there then, don't we? Very little else happens apart from the swimming pool thing that we'll come to in a little bit.
Yes, that's an odd tradition, isn't it?
Yeah, very odd. There's a lot going on there that we shall dive into when we get to that bit of the episode. But meanwhile, we've got this sort of side plot, which I think, should we just address the side plot and just do the ping pong stuff?
Yeah.
And then just come back to the main story? Because this really smacks of, we don't know what to do with four of the people, you know?
It's also the games room itself. I mean, there's a woman sat on an arcade game.
Yeah.
And then a couple playing chess.
Yes.
It's a very, very strange sort of setup.
It's an eclectic games room, isn't it?
And normally in a games room in a hotel, you have, like, I don't know, snooker table or whatever.
Right.
And that's about it.
Yeah, I would have thought the people playing chess wouldn't want people loudly playing ping pong. Or, you know, a big noisy arcade game going on across the other side of the room. It doesn't feel like the right environment for all of those games, does it?
No, definitely not. Have you noticed that there are a couple of continuity errors in the background?
Oh, no, tell me.
So, there's while they're playing ping pong, there's a continuity error where halfway through the conversation, a woman appears sat down behind them playing draughts.
Oh, really?
And then moments later, you see the same woman sit down in the seat that she's already been seen in.
What? As if she's just arriving?
Yes, but she's already been sat there. So they've obviously filmed those scenes a couple of times and then used the footage in different orders. So she's not there at all, then she sat down, and then she sits down.
The funniest thing about that is, why was she not just sat down all the way through? Why would they ever have a scene where they go, do you know what this really needs in the background? Is that woman that's not there yet to come in during
they've directed her to sit down.
It's just like, she could just be there all the time, couldn't she?
It's also, I don't normally notice those kind of continuity errors, and I did notice that because she just randomly appears behind Monica. There's so one bit where her and Mike are like bickering, and it cuts between them both really quickly. And
right.
It's like, she's not there, she's not there, she is there. Then she's sitting down.
God, I didn't even notice that. That's so funny. I have to go and watch that back. But the table tennis thing, basically, yeah, I mean, it's just a way. This feels very much like this half of the episode is all about Ross and Charlie and Rachel and Joey. And they're like, right, the other four lads have to do something. Play table tennis? Sure.
Her injury is implausible, isn't it, Monica's?
Yeah, very, very implausible.
She just sort of is completely ruled out of playing ping pong by lightly bashing her hand on the edge of the table.
That whole sequence lasts about 30 seconds from, like, playing to basically career-threatening injury to Chandler stepping in and winning. But, yeah, there's a nice little dynamic. I do enjoy the Phoebe getting really into it whilst Chandler thinks this is just the least arousing thing I've ever seen in my life.
And also, I love Mike getting progressively sweatier.
Yes, the sweat continuity is all right, isn't it? They've done a lot of work on that.
And then when Phoebe says, we're taking that paddle home, mister, and Mike does this really, like, pervy smile, it's great.
I do really enjoy their sort of... Well, it's not actually that they're both quite dirty, is it? Phoebe's very dirty and Mike
goes along with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Monica's hair ends up looking like the clown from It.
Yeah, it does get progressively worse, doesn't it?
Well, the bit I noticed this time was that because she's wearing that hat in an attempt to, like, calm it down.
Yeah.
She has hat hair at the top.
Right.
And it looks like it's almost been, like, greased down. So it's like this perfect dome over the very top of her head. And then it just, like, explodes outwards volume-wise. It's taken some styling to make it look like that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That must have taken so much of the sort of hair and makeup time, wasn't it? They win a game each. They draw a game. Chandler steps in, wins. Everyone's happy. It's a nice little Monica and Chandler-y moment, isn't it? He turns out he's been hiding this sort of secret ability to play ping pong for years. That's quite impressive, really.
Largely, it turns out, because he doesn't want to sort of have to play as a couple, which is what Monica very quickly is enthusiastic about doing.
Yes, well, exactly. And that's going to be the rest of their lives now, isn't it? So, I mean, that's kind of the ping pong plot line, right? Should we circle back to the sort of Ross, Charlie, the is it a love square?
A love square. How did I describe it on Instagram the other day? David loves Phoebe, who loves Mike, while Ross likes Charlie, who likes Joey, who likes Rachel.
Oh, yeah, there's loads of...
lot going on.
There's a love heptagon?
Heptagon.
A love heptagon. So the funniest thing is, while this is going... Right, so I know it's raining and there's not a lot to do, but these four are playing ping pong, right? Fine, they found something to do. There's also bars and a pool. And, you know, there's loads of things to do in the hotel. Joey sat in his room wearing a snorkel and just putting grapes down it.
Yeah.
And Rachel sat on her own room watching the Weather Channel.
Yeah, Weather Bitch. I liked Weather Bitch.
Weather Bitch is really funny, but it's like it's not really taking advantage of being in a nice hotel, is it?
They've also, I feel like in this episode in particular, they've really dumbed down Rachel to make her seem more of a fit for Joey. The whole like laughing at homo thing,
yeah,
and erectus in Joey's case, like. That's not normally what her sense of humour is like, is it?
No, Rachel is much, and like, there is that bit, you know, that I referenced earlier where Joey says smart people are dull and Rachel takes offence at it, and he goes, okay, Rach, as if to be like, you are one of us, you're a dum-dum, but she's not a dum-dum like Joey, is she?
Not at all, no.
They're really repositioning her like that, to make it seem like, oh, here are the two goofy idiots getting together while the smart scientists get it on, you know?
It just doesn't feel quite in keeping with her character.
No, it is kind of strange, isn't it? There are little snippets, and I know we did the Ross's Tan one a couple of weeks ago where we said there is no chemistry between these two. There are snippets in this one, actually. There was a couple of moments when I thought, oh, yeah, I feel that a bit.
I love the Curious George reference.
I was curious as George,
and then the little moment they have after that reference, like he had a paper route.
The paper route is But again, that Curious George thing, she doesn't get it until Joey explains it to her. Like, there's nothing not to get there, is there?
No.
And it is. You're quite right. They've really sort of twisted her personality slightly to make her slot in with old Joseph Tribbiani.
I also love Joey's sea turtle story.
Yeah.
And the bit where he says, something like, I don't know what happens if the sea turtle catches you.
I'd go alone, but I don't know what happens. He's really gotten into a sort of he's regressed, hasn't he, into a childlike state in this, because the previous half of the episode where he wants to just dig a big hole.
Yeah.
And now he just wants to go chasing sea turtles. Then Joey and Rachel have this sort of slightly awkward chat after Joey and Charlie break up. Joey leaves and then comes back and they have the sort of, I guess, the first umings and ahhings of like, oh, you like me, oh, this is weird. But then Joey, classic Joey, being a good friend, something that cannot be said for Ross later on.
Yep, very true. Ross does not take much convincing at all, does he?
He tries to be a good friend, Ross.
And then he just says, or not, doesn't
literally
he?
Literally 4 seconds. I counted it. 4 seconds of being a good friend.
Yeah.
And that obviously ends up being the catalyst for Joey.
That moment when Joey sees Ross and Charlie, and it really, there's a really sort of different style to how they've done these last few seconds of this episode.
Yeah.
Like the way the music starts. And when he walks down the corridor and he's got this look on his face of like, he knows exactly what he wants to do, and he's very at peace with the idea of it now because he's seen Ross and Charlie kissing and he knows that that's just his sort of justification. But that bit when he's walking down the corridor and she opens the door, that's such, like, I know what we've said about the Joey and Rachel plotline, but that, when he's walking down the corridor and arrives at her door and she opens the door, that is really fucking good TV, the way that that's done.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's really gripping. Yeah, and you feel really like, you do feel really invested in that decision at that time. I think that's absolutely right. You know, we've come to go, oh, Joey and Rachel, eye roll. But that, I mean, do you remember watching this for the first time? I don't.
I don't think I do.
Doesn't sort of ring a bell, but there must have been that moment where you go, oh, shit, this is a big thing, you know?
And this is the end of the entire series, isn't it? The door closes and the episode ends.
Yeah, and there's no post-credit roll at all, is there?
It's just the music.
See you later, and then just the music and the fountain dancing.
Which I guess as well, like in the context of knowing that the next season was going to be the last, like, you'd kind of be forgiven for sort of expecting Joey and Rachel to
end up together.
Stick, yeah.
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. They, if you think about how, the journey of the last season, it's actually quite mad, isn't it? Like, it starts with Joey and Rachel together and ends with Ross and Rachel together.
Yeah.
All in the space of about 16 episodes, because it's a shorter... what's it called? It's a shorter season, isn't it, the last one?
Yeah, much shorter.
But there you go. Right, should we take a small break and then talk about throwing a paleontologist into a pool?
Yes, let's do that.
Richard and Gretta, gonna make your lives better today.
If you'll subscribe to our podcast.
You know, it's all about how to get the most out of your partner.
And we're partners.
So we know all about it.
It's good. Get it wherever you want to get it, when you go and get it from your podcast place. Richard and Gretta.
You know?
You know?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So Ross is chatting to Jarvis.
Yeah.
Implausibly, not sure why. His wife arrives. Funny. Again, Ross has got quite a few, what I would say is socially unacceptable interactions in this episode. You know, when he sees Mike and he doesn't say hello to him, and then he just says, get out. Like, doesn't even try and cover it up or talk to the wife. He's just like, yeah. Nope, I refuse to engage in this at all.
Which would be very embarrassing for them.
Yes, well, exactly. And Charlie rescues him. And then they start this sort of process, which happens twice. It's sort of a false start, isn't it? Of her saying, I like you. I didn't like Joey. I'm into you. But then three old men interrupt. And I know there's this tradition, but they do not read the room, do they? Like, A, they're having quite an intimate conversation, clearly, and then Ross literally says, guys, we're having a moment. Like, what if they were to talk... What if someone's like, Mama just died? Do you know what I mean? Like, it looked really intense and deep, what they were talking about. What if there was a really bad, sort of harrowing incident that just happened, and this guy's like, oh, we could throw you both in the pool right now. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Read the room, you madman.
It's just there's only so much running you can do in very small sort of. They run away. Where are they? End up hiding behind a plant, don't they?
Right. So my real question is, how do they get away? Because when they're running, they are at most 20 centimeters ahead. At what point do they manage to, like, in some sort of cartoon way, go, "Oop, we're going this way," and then go? You know, like, how do they lose them?
And when they are hiding behind the plant, you can still very much see them there. And yeah. The people looking for them do actually stop next to the plant, look, and somehow don't see them.
And they've also taunted them by not only playing hide and seek, but then nipping out to get a cocktail.
Yeah.
To the bar, like, ordered a cocktail, which we know, anyone that's ever ordered a cocktail at a bar knows that is not a quick transaction.
Yeah.
That takes a while. So they've just been stuck by the bar while these people are looking for them. I think I can only conclude that these three paleontologists are absolute idiots.
That does seem in keeping with their inability to locate them.
To locate them. And they've split into two teams, the carnivores and the herbivores. There's only three of them.
They're also working as a three, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. They haven't split into two teams. There's only one team of three. I feel like also even the decision to run in the first place, like Ross, you had them with your little speech, you know, like we're grown-ups, should we not do this type thing? But then he's like, nope, we're going to bloody run. And then, yeah, Charlie starts to tell Ross again, and that's when we get the Ross being a terrible friend. Goes for a little kiss, pulls away, says no, no, no. And then, yeah, lasts 4 seconds before he's on. Joey sees. Boom. That's that, isn't it?
Done, yeah.
It's the end of The One in Barbados, part two, isn't it? It's a shorter second episode, that, wasn't it?
I think we have one question of the quiz to
let's do some quiz reviewing, shall we?
Okay.
Right, so Amy had done a quiz for the whole of The One in Barbados, right?
Yeah.
And we had to sort of pick our way through it last week to work out which ones apply to the first half and which ones apply to the second half, which is our fault for splitting up and not telling her. So what have we got left then?
This one, I think we did mention it last week because we weren't sure which part it was in. Right. But now we know this conclusively. So what's the name of the man who's a big fan of Ross?
Jarvis. Overblau?
Oberblau.
Oberblau, yes. Jarvis Oberblau Cornell.
Question two was last week with the first topic covered in Ross's speech.
The shortcomings of carbon dating.
Question three, we've done that one as well. Which paleontology celebrity does Ross spot?
Dr. Kenneth Schwartz.
What's the score of the ping pong match when Monica gets her injury?
This one is 41-all, I believe.
Correct. And what number room is Rachel staying in?
It's got four numbers.
Four digit. Yeah, it's 12 like something?
Yeah, maybe 12.
I don't know. I'm not 1202.
Nah, we ain't giving ourselves that, are we? Half a mark, but we don't do half marks.
No. That concludes this slightly awkwardly structured quiz this week.
I enjoyed it, though. I enjoyed it. Thanks, Amy, as always.
Would you like to know where we're going next week, Dave?
Peter, I would like to know where we're going next week, please.
Well, I can actually exclusively reveal.
Is it not normally an exclusive reveal?
No, I leak it to the press.
Am I getting it first this time?
Yeah, you are.
Huge.
If you ever looked at the fucking spreadsheet, you know.
I don't know. So, where is the spreadsheet?
Doing another two-parter.
Are we?
But it's an actual two-parter. There are two properly separate episodes.
Okay.
Courtesy of Ash.
Ash,
you're getting 2 weeks out of us.
So we're doing it the same, are we? The same way?
Yeah, well, it's the one that could have been.
The hypothetical one. We've never done that, have we?
So Ash requested both. So yeah, let's knock those on the head and get them done over the next couple of weeks.
Exciting. I'm quite excited about that. I haven't watched that one for ages.
Me too.
Such a bizarre...
Is that one where Phoebe has a heart attack?
Yeah. It's such a bizarre idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's a reason they did it that I can't remember, but I'll research and find out for next week.
Well, we'll have to come back and find out what it is.
Only next week on Fuff with Friends.
Fuff with Friends.
Fuff with Fuff. All the best.
Yeah, see you later.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.